Blog Talk Radio.
Revolutionary Life. I'm your host, Gary. And Revolutionary Life is here every weekday night, at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. As you know, and if you're new to this show, I'll just say in the beginning, I'd like to thank everybody for listening in. And I hope this show is informative to you. For you. It is a call-in show. So at a certain point, I'll be giving out a number so you can call in if you like, if you have a question or comment. Alright? Tonight, we're going to deal with, again, now I have some previous things on economics, guys, that you can always go back to my episodes on economics, but, and social systems as well. However, tonight again, I want to deal with the subject of minimum wage. I've been working with this subject in my city. You know, if you go back, there's a whole show called Memphis. That's my city. Memphis, Tennessee. It sits on the bluff of the Mississippi River in the Delta country. The Mississippi Delta. We are River Delta people. And I talk about that in that presentation on Memphis that I do, that episode, but check it out. However, I was looking at our wages here. and I was looking at our cost of living here in Memphis. And I did a show, I was talking about cost of living earlier. That's a cost of living show, guys. You want to go back and check that out. That's an episode I do entirely on cost of living. However, from that show, I looked up cost of living in my city, and I reported back to you that the figures are that if you are a family of four, if you make a little over $3,000 a month, you can meet the cost of living in Memphis, Tennessee. It also says that if you are a single person, and you can make $800 a month, a little over $800 a month, then you can meet the cost of living in Memphis, Tennessee, as a single person. Then I told you that each one of the figures I just mentioned had an asterisk next to it. And when I read the footnote, it told me that, by the way, these figures don't include shelter, housing. And I asked you on that show, I asked you, how does one calculate the cost of living, of life, of living life, and leave out shelter, food, clothing, and shelter, everything crawling and flying and living on this earth seeks those three things the day it's born. Food, clothing. A snail has a shell. A bee has a hive. A bear has a den. A bird has a nest. Shelter is essential to life. Yet, in my city, they publish the cost of living figures with an asterisk that leads to a footnote that says, oh, by the way, these figures do not include housing. In effect, what they've just told you is that if you are a family of four and you make just over $3,000 a month, you can meet the cost of living in Memphis, Tennessee, with one proviso: that you live outdoors. That you do not seek shelter, housing. Why would you leave that off of the cost of living? Now, that's where the minimum wage comes in. The minimum wage is supposed to be connected to the cost of living as it is calculated. Hang on just a minute. The cost of living as it is calculated is how the minimum wage is derived. The idea being that in my city, my state, my country, when we're talking federal minimum wage, no man will, or woman will work, will work for less, or be paid less for their work, their labor, than the cost it takes them to live. And so a minimum wage had to be set because you were making a statement that by law, if you do business in this city, this state, this country, then those who work for you will minimally have to be paid this. Simply because this is the cost it takes to live here. It all made sense. It was mathematics. Right? It was mathematics. And so, I told you that in 1980, then President Ronald Reagan froze the minimum wage, detached it from the cost it takes to live. Prices rose, the federal minimum wage mandated by law wage stayed the same. That was your Reagan Revolution, part of it. You got poor just sitting there. You see, when I was a kid, I often saw the minimum wage rise. Man, I can remember when it was $1.50 an hour in my town. I can remember when it was $2.50 an hour, $2.25, then $2.50, $2.75, all the way up to $3.35 an hour. And it didn't stop, and it stopped rising. The reason it was rising, of course, is because the cost of living was rising. But Ronald Reagan in 1980 broke the connection, the tie, the bond, the proportional connection that the minimum wage had, what's called the minimum wage now, had with the cost it takes to live. Why would you do that? I told you. Ronald Reagan made you poor without taking a dime out of your pocket. All he did was froze the minimum wage. So wages slowed down. Wage heights. And, boom, let prices rise as they may. Consequently, you sat there and got poor without them taking a dime out your pocket. That loaf of bread that would cost one thing one day, now it costs twice as much the next day. The percentage of your income goes for the same amount, but a larger percentage of your income has to be paid to get it. You got poor. And they made you poor. So we want to talk tonight. We want to get into tonight about the minimum wage and its concept. What is people throw this term around. There is no such thing now. It's arbitrary now. Someone running for office might say $5 an hour minimum wage. $10 an hour minimum wage. It is not connected to math. You see. So you playing a game to get votes or whatever. When you opt to raise minimum wage by a quarter or 50 cents or $1.50. You're raising the minimum wage for another $1.50 for what? Why? Based on what formula? There used to be one. It was called the cost of living. Now, one of the things I want to tell you tonight, in my research of the minimum wage and its connection to the cost of living, I found that the federal government, the Department of Labor, published that there are five states in the South, southern states, that do not have a minimum wage. It doesn't exist for those states. My state, Tennessee, is one of those states. Tennessee does not have a minimum wage. It does not say to corporations when they come here via the term minimum wage, via the expression of minimum wage, it does not say to them and express to them that you will minimally have to pay this in my city to work my people for their labor, because that's what it takes to live in my city. And I will have you not pay, I will not have you pay them by law. I will not have you pay them less than the cost it takes to live in the city. That's a minimum wage. That's what a minimum wage says to an employer. A corporation of any kind, business, coming into your city or starting up in your city or starting out or coming in, setting up, they come in with the understanding that in this city, there is a minimum wage. In this state, there is a minimum wage. In this federal government, there is a minimum wage. It is our way of saying to you, business, to the businesses, to the corporations, that, hey, if you're going to purchase the labor of the people in this city, you cannot pay them less than this by law. By law. And by establishing that law, you're saying that you are guarding the life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness of the people you govern. You are being a guard of that, those inalienable rights. But what happens when your state decides we don't want a minimum wage and we don't have one here in Tennessee or Mississippi or Alabama? Wonder why these states don't have minimum wage. Wonder why they don't say that to corporations coming into their state. Wonder why. In fact, they tell their state just, they tell their corporations just the opposite. In fact, they're telling them, you can pay whatever you like down here. Come on, Tennessee. We ain't got no minimum wage. If you can get away with paying them a nickel, pay them a nickel. That's up to you. The South, if you will, if Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, the South has historically, you have to admit, been known for having free, cheap labor. From slavery, of course, because in slavery, you shared none of the wealth the slave helped you make. Zip. Except enough to make sure the slave stayed alive and got back to work the next day. Cheap labor, subsistence wages came next, where people worked for hours for chump change just to get pennies and nickels in the turn of the century, while y'all were bumping their heads, while this government was making fools out of the immigrants, the new immigrants, getting their labor dirt cheap because of their ignorance of the culture. And still, my city, my state, does not have a minimum wage. My state obviously do not see a need for a minimum wage in this town. Yet, I did tell you about my city and its cost of living numbers. So we have a cost of living. We all do. If we're living and if it's costing us anything to do so, we have a cost to live, a cost of living. all over the state. We have a cost of living. All over this country, it costs to live. Come on. If there's a cost it takes to live, why wouldn't there also then be a minimum wage? Securing that cost at a minimum by law. I want you to think about that too. I don't know about your town, but mine, I live in a state that has no minimum wage. They could care less what you got paid, even though they know there is a certain cost to live in this city. Whether they are concerned that you meet that cost, I think that story is told and revealed in the fact that we don't have a minimum wage in our state. We don't say to those who purchase the labor of the people in the state that if you're going to buy our labor, you got to minimally pay this. Not because we're trying to be bad guys, but because, or get rich, but because this is minimally what it takes to live here, and they live here. And I can't afford to have you paying them less than it takes for them to live so they can work for you. So if you're going to come to this state and work, you must observe and see. When I used to go to, I had a job where every time I went in and punched the time clock, we lined up and punched the time clock. Well, when I punched in, over the time clock was a poster. This poster was red and white, and it was put up by the federal government. And it said by law up there on that poster. It should be over every time clock, I do believe. Every workplace should have a poster announcing the minimum wage. And ours had a federal minimum wage poster. When I told you Ronald Reagan froze the minimum wage, he froze the federal, the country's minimum wage for what it takes to live in this country. But I told you, my state didn't have one anyway. And so, the cost of living, they published those figures. How many people earn enough to live in this city? They don't. However, my city fell on the worst cities to live list last week. That's right. Look up this 10 worst cities to live in the U.S. And guess who would be there? Memphis. How do you run a city down? Keep its people poor and struggling. Always on the grind. Can't see their way above water. You know what I'm saying? One jump behind, 1 month behind in their bills constantly. And long as you, and so in this town, in this state, they have no need, I suppose, for something called a minimum wage. Were it not, y'all don't hear me, were it not for the federal, that poster over my time clock that was put there by the federal government, were it not for that poster that said by law, the minimum wage is blah. If that poster wasn't there, they didn't have to pay me that much. You see, the minimum wage went up when I came up because it was the federal minimum wage. There was no state minimum wage. And if whatever the federal minimum wage did, that's what we were getting. Because my state doesn't have its own minimum wage, but it got its own cost of living. As all do. And the federal minimum, if there were no federal minimum wage, guys, if there were no federal minimum wage, guys, if there was no law coming down to the states from the federal government, that no matter where your laws are, the federal government demands that you pay blah. It's whatever it is, it's a law imposed by the federal government on the states, which, like my state, would rather not have a minimum wage at all from anywhere, federal, state, or local. So let's say the federal government did not impose a nationwide minimum wage. My state would have no minimum wage. $4 an hour, $5 an hour, $3 an hour, it could be arbitrary. There's no law stopping them. And that's the only thing that's stopping them from paying you chump change for your labor. This is a law. How about that? Every penny they don't pay you in wages, they can put in their pocket. Just a few more on payroll tax. Contribution to payroll tax. And so, if you think that government is looking after your interests, who out of all these years, since chattel slavery in the South, my people, my great grand people, chattel slavery, share property, wage slavery, subsistence wages. One day, if the South ain't got the balls to tell a corporation, hang on a minute, this is what it takes to live in the state. You can't come here and pay less than that to these people. And establish a minimum wage law, then the statement they're making is, come on down. If it wasn't for the federal minimum wage, if the federal government just take his hands off the states, we'd have nothing. No law. No reason. To have an arbitrary wage, but to have an arbitrary wage left up to the employer to decide. My state doesn't have a minimum wage, so that sends a message, doesn't it? Did it forget there was a certain thing? No, it didn't. It knew well that other states had minimum wages, and they didn't fall apart. They still got corporations. You think California doesn't have a minimum wage? But it's got Silicon Valley. No. You know better than that. A minimum wage doesn't scare businesses away. A healthy workforce, physically, mentally, and spiritually, is what draws business. An educated workforce, a healthy workforce, draws business. Less sick days. Easier to learn. Easier to take leadership. An educated population. Physically fit. Instead of taking this, the resources brought into this, the South, they've slowed our growth down here. They slowed our growth in this town. That's why, and you didn't hear me, I told you last week, Memphis, Tennessee was on the 10 worst cities to live list. So I'm talking about what I assumed to be true here in my city. I live in one of the 10 worst cities to live, guys. But it's my home. Has been since I was a child. And it needs to change. It needs to flip the strip if the city is ever going to be anything other than a place where young people say, man, I got to get out of this city. I ain't going nowhere. In order to further my research, I got to get out of this city. In order to further my skills, I got to get out of this city. In order to further my artistic pursuits, I got to get out of this city. I'm sick of hearing that. But now I know why that is. We never had a minimum wage. We never had a state government that thought we should have one. And you think when Ronald Reagan froze the federal minimum wage and allowed prices to continue to rise, you think that made you poor? You've been being made poor by a state that has no minimum wage. That were it not for the federal minimum wage enforcement, there would be none. And so your income is not as important to your state, obviously. Your ability to meet the cost of living doesn't seem to be on the agenda. It seems to be the idea of attracting businesses by saying, oh no, we don't have a state minimum wage, come on down. 5 southern states has no minimum wage. And whatever their reasoning is, in effect, what they're saying is that we will not tell corporations hiring our people that they have a minimum that they must pay in salaries. And if they ask why, be able to explain to them that the cost it takes to live here requires that. And why would a government, a state, federal, or local, make a deal that would jeopardize your cost of living? That would put the cost it takes to live in jeopardy for you. In favor of a corporation. I'll tell you one that would. The state of Tennessee and the 5 southern states that decided to to not implement a minimum wage, to not tell corporations you have a bottom line that you can pay my people. And be able to explain why. They accept it in many places. They would accept that here. It wouldn't run one business away. But my state doesn't have a minimum wage. Maybe it just hasn't taken the time to calculate. Since the minimum wage is arbitrary now. One president might pledge to do it as a campaign promise. But it's arbitrary, it's not attached to anything. When they show you the figures should calculate the cost of living and break that down in what an hourly pay looks like. You might be surprised if it's nothing like what you're earning. So tonight I wanted to do this thing on minimum wage because I wanted you to think about what minimum wage signals, not just the term minimum wage, what's minimum wage? Well, we talked about it in my previous presentation on how it was established. You know, the government sent the census out. And they came back and said, okay, well, we found in general that on average a family of four, and they took a family of four as an example, I think, a husband, a wife, and two kids. And we found that they need to make minimally this almost anywhere in this country to survive, to just meet their basic cost of living. And those figures were turned into a minimum of federal law, mandated law, called a minimum wage law. And corporations had to abide by it. Where in the 1800s, they didn't. They paid whatever, chump change. And so, cheap labor is what the South has been about since slavery. And looked like guys advertising us as cheap labor is still going on. Enticing businesses down here because there is no organized labor. Because working people down here have no tradition, it seems, of coming together to demand a living wage and get a written contract securing that wage by law and work off of that contract. And if it's broken, they have the law to fall back on, I guess, the courts to fall back on because it's a written contract agreed on between you and your employer. You don't want that. It's hard to get working people to organize as working people. To demand a minimum wage in this town, commensurate with the cost it takes to live. Ain't nobody talking, and we're not dreaming. I mean, we're not just pulling a figure out of the air. We're simply saying it needs to be attached to the cost of living. And if you don't like that, if you want a lower wage, I got an idea. If you connect the minimum wage to the cost of living and you lower the cost it takes to live in this town, guess what will happen to the wage? Consequently, it must also lower. Because they're tied together. So there is a way out. You don't want a high wage? bring down the cost of goods and services in this town where people can afford them. And you bring down wages. They're tied, if they're tied together. Allow cost of living to keep rising, and you're going to continue hopefully to hear people complain about their wages. Because they're not keeping up with the cost of living. You've heard that. Your income is not keeping up with the cost of living. Of course not. In the state of Tennessee, there is no minimum wage. So there is no calculation for what you should be able to earn to keep up with the cost of living. I just read a figure to you that my city published that said you could meet the cost of living if you're a family of four making $3,000 or so a month. And then it said in the footnote, this doesn't include a place to live. Housing. Food, clothing, and shelter. The basics of all life. Except my city calculated the cost of living and left out shelter with an asterisk and a footnote. By the way, this doesn't include housing. I can't believe that a government like that is very interested in securing my inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of my goals. This is revolutionary life you're listening to tonight. Is where we look at every aspect of life through a revolutionary lens. And hopefully tonight, by looking at the minimum wage again, I hope you understand what the minimum wage stands for. It's taking a stand. Your state doesn't. And if there were not a federal minimum wage, there would be no such thing. In the state of Tennessee, my state. I'm sure some will say that's a great way to attract businesses. It always has been. The South is known for cheap labor since the days of chattel slavery in the South. It was all about cheap labor. All profits come from labor. And slavery is just when the person helped you create wealth and value, and you share none of it with the people who helped you create it, or a minimum amount for their upkeep and maintenance, like they were a machine with no hopes and dreams and aspirations. The father of capitalism, Adam Smith. Don't call yourself a capitalist, guys, if you don't know the father. If you ain't never read the book, you think you're a capitalist if you haven't. You must understand how capitalism works. Capitalism is revolutionary. Over kings and queens, over royalty. But Adam Smith said a capitalist will pay no more to his worker than he would for a machine, upkeep, and maintenance. You know, a slave had slave quarters. You know, a slave ate slop and chicken feed, black-eyed peas, animal feed. so that they can survive and get back to work the next day at the minimum. You know, the Russians fed potatoes to their Jews. They kept out in the pale till they needed their work and their labor. They introduced the idea to Great Britain, and Britain gave it to the Irish because they owned Ireland as a colony. And the Irish people were starving. And of course they couldn't be eating the crops that Britain was growing there in Ireland to be sold. Those were commodities. They ought to be sold or traded. And so the Irish were given potatoes to eat. We've all heard of the Irish potato. Well, have you heard of the Irish potato famine? The influx of Irish into the United States of America was ignited, if by nothing else, the Irish potato famine. You see, they made millions of potatoes out of one type of potato by cutting the little buds off of them and planting it again. Cut the little bud off of it, plant it over again. One type of potato. So when one got sick, a fungi, they all got sick from the potato fungus, a blight. And the Irish starved. That's led to a large influx of Irish coming to this country from their own country, colonized under the British. Cheap labor. That's what immigration is all about. If you don't need the labor, you don't need the immigrant. Call you when I need you. You let working people start organizing in this country in their own interests, demanding of certain minimum wage based on a basic formula. It must meet the cost of living where I live, where we live, in our city, in our state, in our country. Right. And watch what happened. Whenever working people get organized, corporations organize all the time. You got your Chamber of Commerce. You got all kind of trade organizations, business organizations out there. But you let working people start talking about organizing in their interest. It's hard to do in my time. We have right to work laws. They call them right to work laws. Has another name. I can't think of that name right now. But it's called right to work laws. And they're presented specifically to keep labor organizations out, to keep working people organizations out of the city, in the state. But let working people get themselves together and start organizing and watch the immigration pick up. You just watch working people start asking for higher and higher wages and demanding them and see how quick immigration picks up. It has always been economics, the coming and going of immigrants, large numbers of immigrants. And it's no different today. Now they got you eating slave food, and they have laboratories like GMO, creating cheap food, artificial colors, artificial flavors, really cheap food. To get you back to work the next day. You can get for $5. You can get a meal. You can get a dollar meal. You can get a meal they're creating meals as cheaply as possible, as the cheapest products as possible. Because the idea of slavery is that the person that helps you make the wealth, you return none of that wealth to them, or as little as possible. Or you follow the tenets of Adam Smith, the father of capitalism, and you ensure that you never pay a worker more than you would a machine. Upkeep and maintenance. A slave had slave quarters and food to eat and rags on his back. When I come back, we're going to go into our call-in section, and it'll be your time to shine. You're listening to Revolutionary Life, right here on Block Talk Radio. Tonight, guys, I deal with the minimum wage from a different point of view. I explained the mechanisms and the formula in a previous economics class, episode on economics. Excuse me. the the theme tonight was the message from your government that a minimum wage or the lack thereof leaves. If a government, as my state government does not employ a minimum wage in this state from tip to tip, from top to bottom, in the state of Tennessee, there is no minimum wage. And five other southern states are the same. Alabama, Mississippi. Guess why? Well, one thing I know for sure, that the message that the minimum wage gives is not being given in my state. That message being, you cannot hire people in this city and pay them less than it takes to live in this city. And therefore, by law, if you're going to do business here, if you're going to hire here, the law says you must pay a minimum wage of this. If you can't deal with that, tough. And states all over the country have managed to institute a minimum wage. Five southern states do not have one. So that message is not being sent to those who want to do business in these states. They see a government who has no interest in guarding your cost of living. A government that's created among men to protect your inalienable rights. That's what it says in your own documentation, in the founding documentations of the United States. The Declaration of Independence started out by saying you're endowed with certain inalienable rights that can't nobody take away from you. You're born with. And among them are life, the right to life. Food, clothing, and shelter. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of your goals in life. And to secure those rights, and I'm quoting, and to secure those rights, governments are created among men, unquote. To secure those rights, I'll say again, governments are created. So the explanation for why there is a government is in that first sentence. Its job is to secure those rights. And we know what I like about the Declaration of Independence. It also says when you got a government that fails to secure those rights. In fact, become diametrically opposed, despotic towards those protecting those rights. Then it is your duty, it says. It is your right, it says, to overthrow that government and replace it with new guards of your inalienable rights. When I look at my state and I see that it calculates a cost of living minus housing, as though that's not one of the three basic tenets of life on earth. Food, clothing, and shelter. When I see my state, Tennessee, among those that have no interest in establishing a minimum wage for the people who live and work in this city, in this state, it's a crapshoot. As far as they're concerned, if there was no federal minimum wage, corporations down here could do what they pay whatever they like. There's no law. There's no minimum wage law. To me, that says a lot about what my state, where my state is in terms of my being guards and protectors of my inalienable rights. They're not. They're obviously not. They will allow me to be exploited at the lowest wage possible if there was no federal wage. Minimum wage here in my state. My lines are open. My phone number is area code 714-816-4765. That's 714-816-4765. If you have a question, if you have a comment, this is where you can voice it on the air. Call me, and I'll bring you right onto the air, and everybody will hear your comment or question, and everyone will hear my response. I also have a chat room opened. So if you'd like to write a comment, a question, or response in the chat room, feel free to log into my chat. And it's your time to shine. Listening to Revolutionary Life right here on Blog Talk Radio. Revolutionary Life airs every weekday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is Friday, guys, so of course we won't be getting back together again until Monday night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. And I'd like to thank everybody for listening in. And who's listening in? And I'll see you guys on Monday night. In the meantime, I want you to live in the now. I want you to live in the stuff you see, smell, taste, and touch right now. That's the real stuff. Not in your head. Come out of there. People have been trying to tell you what to think since you were a child. Come into the real. Be distracted by your senses, not your thoughts, not what you think is going on. Come here and see what's really going on. Smell something, touch something, taste something without comment, and you're here. And that'll make you fearless. And everything that needs fear to survive will go the other way. It won't bother you. You practice being fearless and have no doubts. And I'll see you Monday. Good night.
Shall we begin? This is not a drill.
Repeat, this is not a drill.
Is that all you got?
Let's begin.
Oh, shout.